Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start there. I'm going to show you what this is. I'm going to show you that I'm not crazy. Well, I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to show you what I think. This came on the the news last night. I was just stunned. What did I say? Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2. There's a world that is there's a world of activity going on around us. We don't see it, but what we see it through the glasses of the scriptures. You put the scriptures on, and then you can see things that nobody else can see. That kind of sounds crazy. People accuse you of being crazy, but if you believe the Bible, then you can see things that are unseen. You can perceive and know things that are going on that other people will never understand. I'm not kidding you. I was brushing my teeth last night, and this came up on the... I was listening to the news. Lisa was already laying there in bed, and the news had just started, and I'm brushing my teeth, and they're talking about something going on in Orlando, and they said something, and I went, "Where are we? Turn that back." And I had to rewind it. And let me tell you what this is. Of course, Jimmy was right. They had another. We've got to have a Pride Festival about every other weekend somewhere in the St. Louis area, and so they had one in the St. Charles area yesterday or this weekend, and they were talking about how 5,000 people attended and all this big deal. They keep pushing that agenda. I couldn't care less if they get together and have a big meeting. I couldn't care less. Amen. And I guarantee you, the footage that you saw on the news was censored. Yeah. Okay? They did not show you the real, and I'm going to use the word queer because it is. Yep. They did not show you the queer attire that a lot of these people wear when they go to these meetings. Some of them near nude in public, and not a word is said. Nobody gets arrested for public indecency or whatever. None of that happens. These people are given free rein to do whatever they want to do, and they know it. And so they were talking about that, and then they went into a story down in Orlando where this shooting was. And they were talking about how they were having the funeral of one of the persons that was killed in that sodomite bar is what it is. And they showed and they talked about these people lining up around where the funeral was going to be, dressed as what? How are they appearing? Angels. Okay? And that's what got me. I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and they said that these people were dressed up as angels, and they were sort of guarding or covering the area. And I caught it. I knew exactly what was going on. When I got done brushing my teeth, I backed it up a little bit on the DVR, and I paused at this one spot, and took my camera out and got a picture of it. Let me show you what this is. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's you. Somebody say amen. Amen. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." This world is on course for something. Okay, there's a showdown coming. It is headed into something. I talked to a real sweet lady the other day, and she just, like many people, she's very, very troubled at what's going on. And she said, you know, why don't the Christians stand up and do something about this? Well, let me just put it to you like this. Okay, number one, in many cases, they do. All right? There's a lot of places still left in this country where God's people will fight back and they'll take a stand. That county clerk out there, what was that, in Kentucky, that decided she was not issuing sodomite marriage licenses and they put her in jail over it, she took her stand. And she did the right thing. Amen. She did the right thing. I wouldn't have done it myself. I'd rather take jail than go against this one. All right. And of course, they blasted her. The liberal media and your family members on Facebook blasted this lady as being some sort of, well, she's had this many guys and she's had this many marriages and she's all kind. Now she's going to tell us about marriage. Everybody in church has got stuff in their past. Yeah. That's why we're in church. Amen. Not because we're better than anybody else, but because we are the same as everybody else. And we know that we're headed for judgment. We walk according to the course of this world. And God has turned us. But anyway, I told her, I said, number one, there are people taking a stand. There are people who are standing up and saying, this is not right. I said, but you need to understand that God has a purpose for everything. Everything that happens is not outside of His governance, not outside of the power of His hand. He allows it or He restrains it, and it is according to His will. If God did not want this thing to happen, it would not have happened. That's the end of it. God is sovereign. But here's the thing. Jesus chose Judas Iscariot, knowing that he would do what he did. He chose him. Okay? God specifically said that he called Pharaoh. He chose Pharaoh, hardened Pharaoh's heart, because Pharaoh was going to do something that went in accordance with God's plan. God was going to use Pharaoh as an instrument of his judgment, as an instrument of his wrath, or whatever it was. God used Pharaoh. God is using Satan. Satan is not some accident in heaven that took place that God said, oh no, I've lost my best cherub. What am I going to do? That is not God. God had this in his mind before it ever happened. Satan serves a purpose. He came to the Garden of Eden. He gives Adam and Eve a true choice. These people chose their lifestyle. Don't give me this nonsense about, well, they're born that way and they can't help it. Fooey on that. There are people that go to our church that have a real chemical, physical issue with alcohol. There are some people that go to this church that they can drink once and be done with it. There are some people who cannot. They were, in fact, born that way, but they made a choice to walk away from that.
Amen.
And God helped them. Okay? So everybody's got a choice. So anyway, but God is allowing sin to come to the full. Jesus taught a parable, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a woman who took leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. Now here's what I get out of that 3 measures of meal. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Leaven is a picture of sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Paul said. All right? So I want you to imagine God, it's just like the enemy sowing the tares in among the wheat. When did the farmer say that he was going to cut down the tares? At harvest time. We got to let them grow. We got to let it mature. We got to let it come to a full. That way we'll be able to know what is wheat and what are the tares. And if you remember this, the wheat turned golden brown like the sun. Tares turned black like darkness, like night. Okay? Prince of darkness. All right? Think about that. And so anyway, God is allowing things to progress and sin to come to a full, just like when a woman knows that bread is ready to be baked. She can tell when she looks at it, she can tell that leaven has come to a full. And this is what God's doing right now. So back in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And then he said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Everybody in this world that is lost is being led by a different spirit than those who are saved. We are led by the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We are led by what God says in His Word. And that Spirit is what guides us. It is what leads us. It is what corrects us. It is what admonishes us. It is what comforts us. The Bible is everything and every part of our life. The opposite of that are people that are lost. They don't need to belong to some secret cabal or secret society in order to be in on the devil's plan. All you have to do is be lost. And if you're lost, you're led by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children in disobedience. So when I heard this on the news last night, that caught me like that. I'm going, there's a spirit here. And I know what spirit that is. I know why these people are dressed up as these angels. Now I want you to think of this. There are two kinds of angels.
Amen.
Good and bad. Righteous and evil. All right? Satan is one of the bad ones. So just because they dressed up as angels, that does not mean that they represent the good servants and the messengers of our Heavenly Father. Okay? Especially when you know what spirit that is and you know what sin that is. There's no way in the world that God is putting it in the heart of these people to act like His good angels. There's no way in the world that that's going on. So now I'm going to use that and I'm going to segue. We're going to bring it back to what we've been talking about last couple Sundays. Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm going to run through verses, all right? So you want to jot these down or try to keep up, that's fine. Jeremiah 10:22. Behold, this is the nature of dragons. This is how they are. The devil is a dragon. That we're talking about spirits. Spirits usually take on a beast nature or a beast appearance. In Jeremiah 10:22, behold, the noise of the brute is come. Does anybody know what the word brute means? It doesn't mean a kind of aftershave, although that's where they got the name. What does brute mean? It means beast-like. Who remembers Bruto from Popeye? Why was he given that name? He was a big old beast of a guy, wasn't he? All he could think about was taking that scrawny, skinny gal, Olive. I don't know what him and Popeye saw in that gal. Had no idea what the attraction was. But all he cared about was stealing olive oil and beating up Popeye. That's all he cared about. He had a brute nature. The noise of the brute, the beast, is come. And a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a what? A den of dragons. They're coming to take over. Watch this now. It could be said that the dragons, the spirits right now, are preparing their nest. They are preparing their dwelling place, their habitation. Jeremiah 49:33, and Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. Who is the son of man? It's Jesus. Think about what's being said here. Without the presence of the Son of Man, the dragons will come in and dwell in those places. Okay? Think about an old farmhouse. Been abandoned for 50, 75, 100 years. What lives in there now? Critters. Beasties. Little birds. Bats. Bugs. Spiders. Cockroaches. Of course, cockroaches may have lived there while the people were living there. Amen. His feet, they was well fed. Possums, raccoons, snakes, lizards. All of those are going to be dwelling in this old house because the Son of Man is not there. So this applies to your life. It'll apply to a ministry or a church, a denomination. It'll apply to a nation. It'll apply to a people, a group of people. If the Son of Man is not present there, the dragons will move in. Okay? Now I'm going to go back to that picture. To me, it is obvious that the Son of Man no longer dwells there.
Amen.
The dragons have showed up. The animals, the brute, the beast have showed up. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 9. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Think about America. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing. For the habitations of the wilderness, a lamentation. Because they are burned up so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled. They are gone. Verse 11. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. So here, watch this now. The Bible is telling you where the spirits, the devils, like to live. He's telling you their habitation. When it says, I will make Jerusalem heaps, what does that mean? How do you characterize that? Or what picture do you draw in your mind? Huh? A trash dump?
Rubble.
Okay. It's been torn down. It's been destroyed. It's like these old barns you see every now and then. They had their good 100 years ago. Nobody's touched them. Nobody's done upkeep on them. No man has tended to them. And they just crumple down into a heap. That's where you're going to find the critters. That's where you're going to find the beasts and the spirits. And that applies now when the structures, listen to this now, when the foundation of this nation is destroyed, which is the Word of God. The Bible was the morality of the American for a couple of hundred years. It was the guidepost. It was the boundary line. People don't care anymore about the Ten Commandments. They don't care about God. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about salvation. They want nothing of it. So what happens is Christ abandons that place and it becomes a ruinous heap. It does not look like something that we want to be a part of or something we want to live in. So Jerusalem is a heap and a den of dragons. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. There's your key right there. Again, the Son of Man now has left Jerusalem and the spirits, the devils, the dragons are all going to move in. Now watch this. He's going to connect it with Sodom. Isaiah 13. Turn your Bible there. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13 is it's a passage about the destruction of Babylon. Isaiah 13, the first time I really read this with any kind of understanding, I was just kind of doing a search through the Bible about Babylon and Sodom and Gomorrah. I was wanting to understand it better. This has probably been 18 years ago, something like that. I did not know when Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5, the day of the Lord, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. I did not know that passage or that idea was any other place in the Bible. And when I was reading Isaiah 13, I went, there's a travailing woman there. And that, and it just clicked in my mind that there would be a connection between what he's saying here in Isaiah and what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. But he says in verse 19, he said, Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You can put in there, as a little side note, coming soon to America. Coming soon to America. Because I'm telling you it is. How many more gay pride fests do we need to see before we realize that we are turning into Sodom? And they're unrestrained. They're unhindered. Nobody's protesting the Sodomites. Nobody is having... Yesterday I'm in St. Charles and they had that Pride Fest. The Southern Baptists were not on the other side of the park having a preaching revival service. Nobody was over there singing Just As I Am without one plea. There was no counter protest. There is no restraint upon the Sodomite agenda in this country. And if they are not, even Donald Trump, and I'm going to say, I like some of the things he says about our foreign policy and things like that, but he is as pro-Sodomite as Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton is. He's pandering and catering to that group to get their votes. And that makes me mad. I don't have a political candidate that represents what I believe in and what is right. I don't have one. Okay? But anyway, Babylon shall be as Sodom and Gomorrah, is what we're saying here. In verse 20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. In fact, when it says doleful creatures, you know what that is? That's like a mourning. A mourning creature. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Compare the sound of an owl to the sound of a bluebird or a blue jay. Blue jays and all those kind of birds, they sing pretty, don't they? Owls lament. They moan. They mourn. It's a different kind of spirit. Owls shall dwell there and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now, take a look at this, okay? Up on the screen, you have the Orlando nightclub called The Pulse. All those sodomites there, and what has happened is a nation now is backing the side of the sodomite agenda. These people have turned into martyrs. That's all that happened. They've been turned into martyrs for the cause of the sodomite agenda in our nation. Everybody's, even your family members, putting up little gay pride things on their Facebook post. The rainbow cup, the White House. Barack Obama, too ashamed of the American flag to adorn the White House in the colors of the flag, but he's all about the sodomite. It just kind of makes you wonder who we got in the White House.
Amen.
Okay? Now watch this. You know what that picture is there in the middle? That is a monument to the Ten Commandments that they had tried to erect in Oklahoma City. And no sooner than they got it up, somebody plowed into it with their car and busted it up in pieces. Run over it. Sure they will. You know what that represents? See, I see stuff like this, and I know spirits are at work here. It represents now we have the absence and a hatred for the Bible, the law of God, the Ten Commandments. There is a hatred for God's Word in this nation. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Word of God. When He has been removed, that's when the spirits are going to show up. That's when the dragons are going to move in. So, it's no wonder now. Now watch this. Hang on, Jimmy, I'll get to you in a minute. Watch this. Ezekiel 28 verse 14 says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." You know who he's talking about there? He's talking about Lucifer. He's talking about Satan. Satan, look at these guys. They put on these wings and they surrounded this funeral deal, and they were sort of a symbol of angels guarding and covering the proceedings of that sodomite person's funeral. They are of their father, the devil. Satan's job was the anointed cherub that covereth. That's what he did. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? An angel of light." That's what these people are acting out. That is what spirit is in them. Do you see that? Amen? This is the spirit now that is in control of this nation. And it's guiding and leading America to her destruction. And I'm not real sure that there's a stopping to it. Okay? I'm not real sure that there is. I would hope that there would be revival in America once again. But I'm not so sure. Isaiah 27:1. In that day the Lord with his sore and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. If you want a good study to do, study the word crooked. Okay? Crooked means, it's just like if we use that term in reference to a judge. If we were to say he's a crooked judge, what are we saying? He's corrupt. He's on the take. Okay? Just like that judge over in Illinois, that they were all caught in that judge's weekend cabin doing heroin and all them other kind of drugs. One of them ended up dying. And that's how they caught him. And a sitting judge was the biggest drug head in that county. And they knew for a fact that him and the prosecutor were working to give the higher ranking drug dealers a free pass in that county so long as they provided the judge and his cronies with enough drugs to get them by. That is a crooked judge. Okay? When we say, think of it this way. I am not a homosexual. I am what they refer to as straight.
Amen.
Makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm straight. I don't go for that nonsense. Amen?
Amen.
That means they're crooked. It's because they have a crooked spirit in them. We call it somebody that takes money from you. What do we call them? A crook. Where do we get that term? Get it from crooked. They're twisted. There's something not right. They got a spirit. They got a snake, devil spirit in them. So in this nation, Leviathan is referred to as the crooked serpent, the dragon that is in the sea. Of course, Revelation 13:1, that's where the beast rises up out of. He rises up out of the sea. Who is Leviathan? Who is he referencing? He's referencing the Antichrist. Revelation 13:1, stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. That's a beast. His feet were as the feet of a bear. That's a beast. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. That's a beast. And then the dragon, Satan, Lucifer himself, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. That now is the opposite of Jesus Christ. When Jesus stood there, the last words he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth." Who gave him that power? God did. Now think about the contrast. Jesus, after 40 days fasting in the wilderness, has a meeting with the dragon. And what does the dragon offer Jesus? Power. He said, "I see all these kingdoms? I'll give you every one of these kingdoms of this world if you'll bow down before me and worship me." Okay? Jesus said, "What, you crazy?" Okay? And he quoted scripture, but Jesus knew that power and authority would be given to him, but it would not be given to him by Lucifer. Be given to him by his Father, Almighty God. So think about it. The dragon being like the father of the Antichrist. All through the Bible, you'll see son of Belial, children of Belial, sons of Belial, daughter of Belial. You'll see thou child of the devil in Acts chapter 13. Okay? Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." It's Father's Day, so I'm going to talk about fatherhood, all right? You can either be of your father, the devil, or you can be of your Father, Almighty God. How can you tell? Depends on how crooked or how straight you are. Amen? Boy, this Bible's rich. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's where we've been going with this, because in... what was we in? 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Turn there real quick. 2 Corinthians, no, it wasn't chapter 10, it was chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us." Okay, that's why I've been taking this long road down, just kind of fill you in on how right this is and how true this Bible is. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so we have in the book of Numbers, which to me, this is interesting. Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. John is the fourth book of the New Testament. And they connect.
Yeah.
None shall want her mate. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. It's Numbers 21, I think it is. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, I spelled not wrong, but have eternal life. Jesus took on the form of our enemies when he went to the cross, and in a type and a foreshadowing, he nailed them to his cross. That's Jesus, God making him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So you see the symbolism of it there. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, turn there. I'm in one of these moods. I want to just go scripture, 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 scripture. I like it that way. Takes the pressure off of me. I have a 95% chance of being right when I preach if I use a lot of scriptures. The other 5% where I would be wrong is when I got outside of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, I want you to look at the nature of the dragon. What does he like to do? He likes to devour. What does he like to devour? Children. Children. He's going after the kids, people. You believe that? He's been doing it for years. He's quite good at it. He devours it. And it could be said that this is the hope, this man-child is the hope of Israel. He likes to devour and consume everybody's hope. We live in a world right now that is the way it is because most people have lost hope in the future. Most people have lost hope in God. They don't trust Him anymore. They've lost hope and lost their trust and confidence in Christianity. And this is why we are where we are today. The devil likes to consume that, chew it up. We see in the parable of the seed and the sower, when Jesus said, some seed fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came down, devoured it. He then tells you the meaning of it. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. And there are people, you could probably go to that little sodomite convention there down in Florida and go to those funerals. I have a good friend, Tim Behrens, used to do radio in St. Louis. I mentioned him before, he lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he has been sick recently. He thought he was having heart problems, and so he posted on Facebook, pray for him, because he had to go to the hospital to get checked out, and he hasn't passed out his 300 tracks yet for the day. And so when they checked him all out and said, you're good to go, he rejoiced because he said, I'm going to go right back out to that bridge there where I stand and hand out those tracks. 300 gospel tracts a day, every day, is his goal to hand out to those people. Most of those people have got a dragon sitting right on their shoulder, and as soon as that tract hits their hand, it's gone. They're the wayside people. For them, there is no hope. Their life is so full of devils that the word never has a chance to do its miraculous work in their life. It's just consumed just like that. And that's what you see right here. He likes to consume hope. He likes to destroy God's promise. He likes to destroy God's word. Okay, he's ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. By the way, he hates unborn children and devours them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We got dragons all in this country. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, that's Jesus, and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. When you find yourself in the midst of dragons, call unto God. He's got a mighty angel named Michael who's fought dragons all during all of his creation. And he always wins. Amen? Hey, look at it. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. His angels were what that picture you saw, and go back to it. Okay? That's his angels right there. That's the spirit that is behind that nonsense over there. And it's gaining ground. You ready to fight? You ready to do battle? You ready to do warfare? Okay? You might be afraid. I get afraid at times. Let me tell you one good thing about getting into a fight. There's one thing that always overcomes fear of getting punched. It's called anger. And when you've had enough hits, and when you've taken as much as you can take, instantly you're not afraid anymore. Isn't that something how it works?
Yeah.
When you get tired of getting beat on by the devil, you'll get good and mad and you'll stand up, and Brutus had better watch out because here comes Popeye. Amen?
Amen?
I've learned that. I did that one time. God, I told that story, the bell rang. But I mean, it came on me one time and I got mad and I literally stood up. And I said, get on out of here. Amen. Are you seeing the spiritual world?
Yes.
Through the eyes of the Bible. It's all right there, people.